Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other podcast platforms. Thanks so much for listening, and do be sure that you're subscribing to the show so you get every episode automatically every week. Subscribing is free. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps, and there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please be sure to like, follow, etc. on those platforms. By the way, a reminder, back on episode 33, when I spoke with Dr. Kelly Morrow, I acknowledged that we ran out of time and probably could have covered a lot more, and I asked listeners to send in what else could be asked of Dr. Morrow, meaning that I would have her back on another time. Well, if you didn't hear that episode, go back and listen to it, and then email me, bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, or you can always send comments through the website. Plus, you can post those types of thoughts, suggestions, and engage with other listeners and even post prayer requests in the show's Facebook group, which is called CSR Listeners. There's a button for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. Also, please help me spread the word about the show. I would appreciate it if you would tell others about Catholic Sports Radio as I continue trying to get the word out and bring more listeners to CSR. In terms of my ministry moment for this episode, when I spoke a couple weeks ago at the Second Global Congress on Sport and Christianity, I had the opportunity to hear Tim Tebow speak there. He told the story of how he chose to play at the University of Florida, including saying that the look in the eyes and the sincerity in the voice of Coach Urban Meyer when he told Tebow that he believed in him and that they could do great things really spoke to Tim's heart. But you see, it's our belief in God that makes it possible for us to use the gifts and talents that He has blessed us with. We know that He is the source of these and all things, and therefore we can go out into the world and draw upon what He has given us and bear fruit, and then in the process, we can testify to others because of what it says in John chapter 15, verse 5, which is, quote, "Because without me, you can do nothing," end quote. Carry him with you always throughout your week and throughout your sports and non-sports activities. Let's move on here on episode 41. Today I am joined by a young man who is with the NFL's Green Bay Packers and Buffalo Bills, and more recently the Atlanta Legends of the Alliance of American Football. He had played college football at Dartmouth and has now transitioned into the corporate world and life off the playing field. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Jacob Flores.
Thanks for having me, Bruce. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And listeners, to be sure, you can tell that Jacob grew up Catholic, being one in a family of seven.
Yeah, that's right. I've got three little brothers. They're all football players as well. Two of them play at Dartmouth, where I played college ball. One of them played at Columbia, and then I've got an older sister. So we got a big athletic family, big Catholic family, you could say.
Wow. And I'm tempted to say that it's ironic that Jacob and I are recording this just a couple days after his alma mater made headlines, and everything they wrote said that Dartmouth won on a Hail Mary.
That's right. Yeah, I think it's crazy that we were even in that situation. Harvard's like our arch rival, so we were down by 3 points, and they threw a Hail Mary at the last second. My brother was out there. He's the left tackle. So that was a great win for sure.
So does that mean that you're going to as many of his games as you can, or you watch them, or some combination of the two, I guess?
Yeah, actually, they're playing Princeton next week, and both teams are undefeated. The game is actually at Yankee Stadium, so I'm going out
to New York
next week, and I think it'll be a fun one.
Wow, that's pretty unique. Well, let's jump to your college days. You chose an Ivy League school, and tell the listeners what your major was there.
Yeah, so I chose to major in religion at Dartmouth. Dartmouth is a liberal arts school, and so you can, you know, they don't have like marketing or sales or anything like that, but I chose religion because it was super important to me, and I thought, you know, it would kind of teach me to defend my faith a little bit. So it was one of the best decisions I made.
Well, since your major was religion, should we be surprised that you and one of your teammates there started up a Bible study meeting while you were at Dartmouth? Just because, sadly, that's probably not the first picture that someone would get in their head of an offensive lineman at college.
Yeah, definitely not. I think some people view college kind of as 4 years to kind of go wild and party and all that. But I think a lot of times you can use those 4 years to develop some other great friends who are close to Christ. And I found another offensive lineman on my team. His name was Josh, and we were both strong believers. And so we decided, hey, let's start this little Bible study. And it started with about, I want to say like 4 or 5 people. And by the time we graduated, there's close to 25 to 30 people coming consistently.
Wow. Wow. So I'm curious, when I say, how do you get the word out? It sounds like you were just opening it up to the guys on the team, but since it wasn't a Catholic college, you have to get the courage up. You have to make the decision. I want to evangelize a little bit here, but obviously there's some sensitivity and some kind of concern about respecting the beliefs of others on the team. So how did you navigate through that in trying to recruit more guys into the Bible study?
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, the Northeast, compared to Texas, growing up in Dallas, everybody went to church, and it was just kind of like a cultural thing that you would do before you went to lunch. But in the Northeast, I think it's such a dark place spiritually, especially on a college campus. Anyone that went to church, you know, who believed in some of the core tenets of Christ and the Bible, that's kind of what we focused the Bible study around. It wasn't Catholic per se, because everybody had their different denominations, but
okay.
It was it was just good to have people, you know, like going to church, reading the Bible. I think sometimes you have to take baby steps and meet people where they're at.
Well, they say there's strength in numbers, plus of course we know that where two or more are gathered in his name, he is present. So I'm separating the fact that you and one of your teammates started the Bible study. I'm referring instead to, leading up to today, you told me that there were 3 other buddies of yours at Dartmouth who were strong believers. So did that make it easier to be a little more devoted to your faith, having those guys around you, especially, like you said, in a college environment where there's kind of this draw to, well, I guess this is the time in my life when we're just going to party, and instead it's, well, I'm here for athletics. I'm also a religion major. Now I find 3 other guys. Maybe I can be a little more open about my devotion to the Lord.
Yeah, I think, especially in college, kind of when you're away from your parents and your high school friends, you have to find that group of people who are going to strengthen you and challenge you when you need to be challenged. And, you know, they don't have to necessarily be on the football team or, you know, in your fraternity or whatever. I know one of them was like a lacrosse player and 2 of them were on the football team. But, yeah, I think those are some of the best friends I have. Even to this day, we still go to each other's weddings and still call each other and check in with each other. But I think it's really hard to live a life as a follower of Christ without other people. I don't think you're meant to do it alone. I think, you know, even Jesus had 12 disciples because he saw what that strength in numbers does do.
Well, and I love that this is a perfect snapshot of the intersection of our faith life and our sports life, because here you are mentioning that it wasn't just football players, lacrosse, maybe other guys who weren't even athletes. And because of that common Christian faith, we can all bond together regardless of what walk of life we're coming from.
Right. Yeah. And at the end of the day, you know, sports wins and losses are great and all that. But at the end of the day, when we're talking about some eternity, I think that's a little more important than, you know, did we win the game on Saturday night or all that.
Well, moving on to the NFL, you were signed by the Green Bay Packers as an undrafted free agent. It's one thing to be a high draft pick, but I think there's a different kind of pride that comes with making an NFL team without having been drafted. Am I right?
Yeah, I think you definitely have a chip on your shoulder when I remember watching the draft and just hearing all the other names called, and it's just kind of disappointing. But when you get there, you definitely have something to prove. So I would agree with you there.
Yeah, but I think that you have to be awfully proud of yourself, and I'm sure your parents were awfully proud that, wow, he's on an NFL team, despite the fact that he didn't get drafted. That shows a lot of talent and hard work.
Yeah, I think we're all given talents from God, and I think for whatever reason, mine was snapping a football and just being big and moving people, and that's what he gave me, so I put in the hard work and developed it to the furthest that I could.
Well, I'm wondering if going undrafted and having to get to the NFL through the free agent route is even tougher and sends you deeper into prayer, or if it draws you away because you have to spend so much time with phone calls and emails and seeing what's available, where you might get a look from a team and so on. But Jacob, before you answer that, I know that now that we're into November, a lot of churches, dioceses, ministries, organizations are making plans for 2020 and some of the events that will be organized next year. Listeners, if you have a say in any of that, be reminded that I am available as a speaker for your event. That might be a sports night, a parish mission, a men's conference, a diocesan event, or something else where my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, where my faith and sports background, which is detailed on the website and that I talked about back on episode 1, are a fit. Look for the very short Request Bruce as a Guest Speaker form on the website to start that conversation. And then also on CatholicSportsRadio.net, if you do like what I'm doing here, if you're tuning in regularly to Catholic Sports Radio, if it's helping your faith life, if you believe in this broadcast ministry, if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, you're getting some type of value, some benefit from it, and want to help out, I would appreciate your support. I am just a one-man show taking this on all by myself, including doing all the producing, hosting, and editing of this show every week, as well as the administrative and promotional work and so on, which means that all the expenses come out of my pocket. So if you feel I'm giving you something each week that you'd like to support, utilize the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net, which will give you the opportunity to contribute in whatever amount you wish securely online. And by the way, I'm happy to give you a shout out for doing so, either on social media or even on the show, if you wish, or it can remain anonymous. And also, as I've learned from other podcasters whose shows are listener supported, for those of you that don't like the idea of putting credit card information online, just email me, bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will get you an address to send a check or money order to via U.S. mail. Otherwise, look for the Donate to CSR button on catholicsportsradio.net. Pray about that. See if this ministry might be somewhere that God is moving you to tithe. Jacob, what about that? Does going undrafted and having to take the free agent route send you deeper into prayer, or do you unfortunately get caught up in the frantic rush to find a team that will take a look at you and the prayer life becomes a casualty and falls by the wayside?
Yeah, for me, it definitely drew me closer to God. I think for a lot of people during those times of uncertainty, and that's really what the draft process is. It's a bunch of uncertainty. You don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know what's going to happen in your future. I think those are the times that Jesus is closer to us and he calls us and comforts us closer than just a normal time. So I definitely experienced that during the process. I remember when I got the call from the Packers, I had just gotten out of Mass actually, which was pretty cool. And I knew like, okay, this is what I need to be doing. This is where I need to be.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's the, that's the power of prayer right there on display.
Absolutely.
Well, similar question. When you're getting waived or put on IR or cut, do you find yourself getting pulled into why me, God, mode, or were you able to stay peaceful and know that God was in control in even those situations?
Yeah, I think I definitely experienced the why me a lot. Just because you feel like God, you know, I felt like God called me to play football initially, and then I didn't feel like I was done, but he had other plans. So there's definitely some of that wrestling with God and being like, you know, I can keep playing, you know, why are you taking this away from me? But ultimately, he's the one that gave me the opportunity in the first place. So it's not really my place to say sometimes, even as hard as it is.
Well, but I think because of the story that you just told us coming out of church and all of a sudden getting the call from the Packers, I think that's what makes you even more conflicted to say, wait, I came out of Mass on a Sunday.
Yeah.
You gave me the phone call.
Yeah, and I experienced an injury that kind of set me back and kind of derailed football with my knee. But, you know, still I felt like, okay, I can still play, you know, still kept going. And so finally at some point I just kept praying about it, and God opened another opportunity for me in the corporate world, and where I'm still around sports, but on the sports medicine side. So that's kind of when I knew, okay, like, all right, football is great, but now you're leading me here instead of to continue playing.
Yeah, and listeners, that's not unlike the story told by Baby Joe Macy when I had him on the show. He was a heavyweight boxer and told a great story on that episode about how the very doctors that he was going to after he suffered a blow to the head in what ended up being one of his final matches led him to so many doctors who he would later go on to serve in the medical industry selling for St. Jude. So go back and listen to that interview with Baby Joe Macy. A lot of similarities to what Jacob just described. Jacob, when the Alliance of American Football folded before the season even finished, were you starting to pray about your football career? Just walk us through that as it related to walking with God through what I'm sure had to be uncertainty.
Yeah, I think football is always fun to play. It's a game at the end of the day, just like all sports are. And then when it folded, it was like, all right, that's where, you know, the paycheck was coming from. But I think throughout that season, I'd been praying about it and getting messages from God like, okay, you know, you're a good football player, but, you know, I'm calling you to something more, and maybe the football's not in your future. So I really had a peace about it when the whole thing kind of collapsed and I was ready to move on at that point.
Wow. Well, so then it sounds to me and listeners, this is what I think is going to be the difference that you're going to find with athletes who do have a relationship with Christ, is that, Jacob, we hear so many times about a player, Jason Witten, perfect example, that retired, went into the broadcast booth, and all of a sudden a year later, he's back on the field playing for the Cowboys.
Right.
It sounds to me like you're at peace, and that even though you're only going to be turning 26 years old in a couple weeks, you're not having second thoughts and saying, maybe I should pray and see if I should be going back to football after all.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. I think for a long time, I wrestled with that why, or like, why did you take this away from me? And I think a lot of people can relate to that. You know, it might not be a football thing that was taken away, but maybe it was a relationship or a job or just a loss in general that is taken away. And what I would say is it takes a while to kind of take that to prayer and wrestle with it. But ultimately, I think what I would say is you do have that peace about it if you give that up to God.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, on a personal note, tell the listeners where you met your now wife, as well as about your wedding ceremony last year.
Yeah, that's a good story. So I met my wife in high school at a church camp. My mom was like, all right, you're going to this camp. I guess it was a leadership camp in the diocese. And I was like, no, you know, we got one more week till summer. We've got one more week of summer till football starts. I want to have some free time and do whatever. But, man, I'm glad I went to that camp. And we've been married for about a year and a half, and we dated long distance throughout college. And she's a really strong Catholic girl. So what I would tell people is you got to be, you know, when you're looking for a spouse, you want someone with the same beliefs, the same values, and was kind of raised the same way. And I think church camps are a good place to do that.
Tell the listeners who married you last year.
Yeah, so when I was up in Green Bay, Coach McCarthy had a team priest who had been there for, I think, maybe 20 years. His name's Father Jim. And so, you know, Brett Favre's Catholic. A lot of the Packers coaches are Catholic. The whole city of Green Bay is a really strong Catholic area.
Mm.
And so me and Father Jim became pretty close. And even after I got cut, we would still talk and all that. And so he actually flew down to Dallas and married me and Michaela about a year and a half ago.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I mentioned in the intro that you've transitioned to corporate life, but talk about the work that you're doing at your parish, as well as what you're doing with young athletes.
Yeah. So now that I'm not playing football, I'm helping coach. So here in Dallas-Fort Worth, there's a lot of talented football players. And so I do individual sessions, individual lessons, and kind of help with recruiting and help other young offensive linemen hopefully play at the next level and beyond that. And then at our parish, Michaela and I just started helping with a young adult ministry in our church. So we're trying to help grow that and bring other people into Bible study and the sacraments and just trying to build a small community there within the church.
Beautiful, beautiful. Last week on the show, Clay Dimmick, who is a pro soccer player, he talked about how his college coach really did more for him in his personal and his faith life than with his soccer career. I wonder, Jacob, with these young athletes that you're working with that you just talked about, is there an opportunity, as much as you're there to teach them football, is there an opportunity to minister to them at all?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We talk about, you know, I have an hour. It's usually an hour session with each kid. And so we'll talk about football and life and grades and parents and faith and pretty much everything. I feel like I'm an older brother to a lot of the kids. So I think, you know, being able to talk about that piece, because that's at the core of who you are. Besides, football is kind of on the periphery, and your core is your faith and your beliefs.
And do you find that they're a little more open to it, a little more receptive because of what you described before, that Texas is kind of more known for such a presence of the Christian faith?
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of kids have some faith background, but, you know, not everyone is fully bought in or knows what it means to commit long-term to living a Christian life and following Jesus. So maybe just kind of showing them by example of what it was like for me in college, what they might face when they got to college, and just kind of sharing stories from the pro level and, you know, whatever I can do to help them. Especially, I remember one of my kids had a breakup, and it's like, okay, you know, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. Here's what matters, you know, the most, even as hard as it is to hear.
What age are these kids that you're working with?
It's mostly high schoolers. I've got some junior hires, and then there's some crazy parents that let me coach their, like, 4 or 5-year-olds. But mostly it's high schoolers that are going to play at the D1 level.
Well, and I have to imagine that those high schoolers do probably look at, okay, this is someone who played in the NFL, so their eyes are wide open and they're a sponge and they're hanging on your every word. So if you do say how important it is to stay in community with Christ and with the church community, then they're thinking, okay, I have to lap up everything like a dog that he's telling me, whether it is football techniques or whether it is about my personal life. So it sounds to me like you have them in a great position.
Yeah, I think so. I think, like you said, they trust me football-wise, and so we've built that relationship that they're open to talking about other stuff, whether it's in their faith life or family life or whatnot. So, and then I also get to talk about my own faith and different things that I do to help me. Like, I know podcasts are a big one, so I really appreciate you doing this podcast. I drive around a lot for my job nowadays, so any good Catholic media that, you know, I can put on instead of listening to sports talk radio is something that I think is super helpful.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Jacob, thanks so much for your time. Great talking to you, and God bless you, and congratulations a little over a year later, and all the best to you and your wife.
Thanks, Bruce. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you bet. Listeners, we will close with the Sportsman's Prayer this time around. We've done this one before. Maybe you're starting to memorize one or more of these that we do. So let's do this one together. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I am Bruce Wozniak, and remember, It's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.